Tonight we're going to talk about the baptism of Jesus. For those that are new to our Friday night study, what we're doing probably most of this year is going through the life of Christ in a chronological order. For those that attended prayer meeting, we did the Old Testament in chronological order, and it made a difference of how things fit. So we're going to look at the life of Christ in chronological order and see how it fits in the way it happened. So tonight we're going to look at the baptism. Last week we ended with Jesus, as far as we know, when he was 12 years old till he was 30. We don't know any too much except that he grew in stature and in wisdom and followed God. So we have an 18-year period there that we don't know much about at all. Now, at the age of 30, Jesus decides that he wants to begin his public ministry. Why at the age of 30? Why not at 22, 25, 28? Why at the age of 30? Did he wake up one day and just say, I'm tired of being a carpenter, I guess I better go do something? Did his mom say, think it's time you get out of the house? Did God come down and say, it's the time? Why? Well, yes, ma'am.
It was prophetic, wasn't it? Wasn't his ministry foretold the week?
Okay, so he had no choice?
It's just the way it was.
Okay.
Well, from my standard point of view, 30 in that particular time was probably middle age when people lived to be maybe 60 because of health reasons. They didn't last much longer than that. And a person that's much younger than that, people probably wouldn't pay much attention to him. So possibly he was waiting for the particular time in which most of the people would sit up and take notice to a person closer okay. to their own age.
Okay. So age was a factor.
I think so.
Okay. What else? Why not 29? Are you just almost as mature at 29 as you would be at 30?
Were there rabbinical customs?
Not that I know.
It's also prophetic, though, when he was supposed to do that, wasn't it?
Okay.
Prophecies.
So you think Jesus mastered Daniel? Had his chart out?
Oh, I'm sure he had his chart.
Had his chart and said,
Wait a minute.
See, did he have a slide rule?
God makes prophecies. His life is not regulated by prophecies.
Okay. So did he, have his little sundial out and famo, time to start.
Was John the Baptist had something to do with it?
Why would you say that?
Well, he was preaching about who was to come.
Okay.
Well, that's preparing the way.
That's an interesting concept. How do you think that Jesus realized that it was his time?
Well, I like her statement about John the Baptist.
What if they had ringing phones back then? I see now why Jesus didn't get married. You give your wife one little job. I do everything else for her except one little job. Silence the telephones.
Well, I heard a whole sermon on that one time, and there is a reason, and boy, I'll tell you, it's absolutely slipped my mind now. But there was a very specific reason why.
Okay. What makes you think that Jesus realized it was the time to begin his ministry?
Well, according to Isaiah, when the voice crying into the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, that would say, hey, that's the key note.
Okay. Absolutely, it was John the Baptist. What was John's Baptist ministry? What was the reason of his preaching in the wilderness? Thank you, sweetie. I didn't say one word about you while you were here. I said it was just a minor slip on your part. Yeah. What was John the Baptist's message?
Kingdom of God is at hand.
Is at hand. Prepare ye the way. I've come to prepare. And when Jesus began to hear of John the Baptist's ministry and began to hear of what he was preaching, and he had read and understood his calling since he was 12 years old, he realized that there was to be a forerunner before he came to his ministry, and that forerunner, John the Baptist, was there.
His cousin.
Yeah, his cousin. Do you think they ever met?
Yeah. Not until the baptism.
No, not till the baptism. It's not like today.
You know,
if they wasn't around three miles of each other, you didn't know much of each other. So most likely they'd never met. So when Jesus heard John's preaching, John's message, he began to realize it was time for him to begin his ministry. And so now we have the next question is, why would he begin his ministry? By being baptized. So let's look at baptism. What do you think baptism was for back in the biblical days of John the Baptist?
Symbolic of cleansing.
Okay, symbolic of cleansing. Who was eligible to be baptized? Wasn't there yet. Who was baptized?
Wasn't it a sign of their repentance?
Okay. Whose repentance?
Of the individuals.
Okay. And what was that individual?
A sinner.
Pardon?
A sinner.
Sinner? What? But who was the sinner?
Gentiles.
But there were Jews too baptized.
Not very many. The baptism was for the Gentiles. Why wasn't a Jew ordinarily baptized?
Well, he was born from the seed
of
Abraham.
We were the father of Abraham. We didn't need it.
Did you say sinners? Did Jews look at themselves as sinners?
No.
Absolutely not. After all, seed of Abraham, God's chosen people, God's children, knew the law, knew all the things, so they were perfect. They didn't need baptism. So, baptism was strictly for the, and I can't say the word, proselytization. For those that are new, I stay away from three-syllable words, and if you come here long enough, you'll understand why.
Well, the Jews still baptize Gentiles, don't they? They still have baptistries in there.
I suppose. I really don't know.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. But back in those days, baptism was for the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Was not for the Jews. They had it made. So therefore, if you accepted God, remember it's not Jesus. It was God. And so if you were a Gentile, you accepted God, then obviously you needed cleansing. You needed to get rid of sin. So you were baptizing. So here's John the Baptist. He's out by the river. He's preaching. Who do you think that most of his message was geared to? What particular? It was to the Jews mostly. But what type of people would you say?
Pharisees
and the Sadducees. So remember one of the things I shared with you at the very beginning? I would point out every time that Jesus appealed or talked to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and them old scribes, was saying, here's was John's message was geared towards the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because if he could bring to them the understanding of the coming of the Messiah and that he would be there, then obviously if you can teach the religious leaders of the church, then you would hope that it would filter down. So here again we see God working one more time with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, all four of the gospel writers put in about the baptism of Jesus. Now, this is one of the few things as we go through the life of Christ that we'll see all four talk about it. So I want to look at it. Now, number one, I want everybody to turn in at the same time and have somebody read. And I want to see if we see any differences in the story. So we're going to start out with Matthew. Matthew starts out at, I think, 321. Or 3:13, rather. Matthew 3:13. Now remember, Matthew's gospel is written to the Jews, and he wants to prove to the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. That's his whole intention of the book, is Jesus was a Jew, he's from the lineage of the Jews, and he's the Messiah for the Jews. So, let's see, you have an unauthorized translation of the Bible. What do you have?
The Good News Bible.
Oh, you still bring Taylor here?
Oh, well, is that Taylor?
No, his is Living Bible. Yeah. Good News is fine. Read Matthew 3:13 till we finish with the baptism.
Okay. At that time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to make him change his mind. I ought to be baptized by you, John said, and yet you have come to me. But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now. For in this way we shall do all that God requires. So John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting on him. Then a voice said from heaven, this is my own dear son with whom I am pleased. Then the Spirit...
Okay, that's it. Okay, so here we have Matthew telling about John the Baptist, a little lengthy. Now let's go to Mark 1, 9, I think. Now remember, Mark's gospel is written to the Jews and the Christians in Rome that are about to be persecuted and killed. So we always find Mark short, to the point, move on. So somebody read Mark, I believe, 1:9.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased.
Okay, so Mark kind of just gets to the point, tells the story. Main thing is the dove. All right, let's go to Luke. I think Luke 3:21.
Mark, right in Mark, he says, and then he went to the desert.
Yeah, so, yeah, Mark wastes no time. Jesus is just hopping. Okay, Luke's gospel's written to the Gentiles. Dr. Luke is writing to the Gentiles. So what does Luke say? Somebody read Dr. Luke. 3:21, I hope. Or...
When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased.
Okay. And then the last one is John, I think 1:29. John's gospel was written 20 years after anybody else's gospel. He had the privilege of putting in what he thought was important. And So we have John with no story of the birth of Christ, no genealogy. Word becomes flesh. He gets right down to the point. And so we have him about 129 with his version of the baptism of Jesus.
The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After the me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Keep going.
No, was that the end of the baptism?
Yes.
That's it. Okay. Now, somebody go back to Matthew 1, 13. And somebody go back to Matthew 3, 13. And somebody go back to Luke 1. And somebody in Matthew 3, 21. Tell me what, after the dove came, what did God say to Jesus? And then somebody read Luke.
Okay. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.
Okay, now which one is that?
Matthew.
Okay, this is my son who I'm well pleased. What does Luke have him saying? Okay, this is my son.
You are my son.
Okay. Why the difference? Ponder that one. We'll come back to it in a minute. All right. Here we find John. He's baptizing. He sees Jesus coming. And he recognizes that Jesus is different. How could he have done that?
Inspiration.
Okay. What else?
John was a prophet.
Okay.
And I'm sure he was well versed in the Old Testament, but he also had the Holy Spirit that moved him to say that, I'm sure.
Okay.
Surely his mother would have relayed the experience.
Okay.
John.
We know Jesus had heard of John. Do you think John had heard of Jesus?
Yes, because Mary went and lived with John's mother for 3 months.
Okay, so John the Baptist knew the story. He knew about the birth. He had heard the story. But what else do you think? Do you think God said to John as Jesus came, this is the one?
But John's testimony says that he wouldn't know who he was except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who baptized with Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know John didn't quite understand because later when he was in prison, he wanted to know if Jesus was the one.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus told his disciples and told them to go tell him what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, do you think there was something different about Jesus than other people that he was baptizing?
Well, I guess because he was a Jew.
What else? What type of person, forget the nationality, what kind of person came to John that was going to be baptized? What were they?
Sinners.
Do you think a person who knew no sin, who had a close relationship with God, who had studied the Bible and had that relationship with God, do you think that when he walked among men, a lot of it's John's case, there was something be different about this man? Absolutely. Now, I think John knew the prophecies. I think that John knew what was going, but when he saw Jesus, he knew there was something about him. By the way, the quotation, "Behold the Lamb of God," and even this quotation, was when the Spirit came down upon Christ, it answered John the Baptist who this man was. But I don't think he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," till after the baptism, and he saw that. Then he said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." I think the thing I appreciate about John the Baptist, and you touched on it briefly, was here was a man chosen by God who had the privilege to prepare the way for the Master to come. And when he came, he recognized him. He knew his unworthiness. He baptized him. And yet, a few months later, when he's in jail, what went through his mind?
Was that really him?
Was that really him?
If it is him, how come I'm in jail?
Absolutely. What am I doing here? Why am I forsaken? Does he really care?
Did I do my job right?
Was it something I did wrong? Any of y'all ever have those questions and feelings?
Not at all.
Yeah. Where is God? Finally, to the point that he said, "I need confirmation. Go ask him, is he the one?" What do you think the lesson that we learn from that is?
That when in doubt, ask.
That's certainly one lesson, but what's the lesson before that lesson?
Consistent reassurance.
Even righteous what? People get discouraged.
Absolutely.
And God treats them just
fine. Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, we if we're not careful, we believe that, well, it's wrong to question. It's wrong. God wants us to open up our hearts and share with Him. So John is sitting there saying, this is not the way the story's supposed to go. This man is supposed to set a kingdom up on this earth. So from the beginning, he had the wrong picture of the Messiah.
But he called him the Lamb of God. You'd think that would have meant the Lamb. And so I sacrificed.
Absolutely. Very versed in the sanctuary services.
That takes away the sins. I mean,
nice words.
Maybe he didn't.
Do we have the same problem today as Christians? Do we allow Jesus to come and take away our sins? Or do we try to help Him out? You see, it's easy to be hard on these people. Well, them dumb old Jews. Why didn't they put it all together? Well, we have it all together. And still, sometimes we miss the boat. God invites us to ask questions and share our thoughts. And there's nothing wrong with saying, just have one question to ask you, God. Why in the world am I in this mess? First book of the Bible's Job. What was his questions? Oh, we like to read the three or four verses before his final decision, but then we don't ever quote the 25 verses where he says, "Why me? I wished I was never born. I wished I was dead." Now that's a pretty good sign of faith, you know. Why me, God? I wished I was dead. I was better off dead. See, we never read those questions, those statements. Now, did Job come to the right answer?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But look at the dialogue as he went through it. Did John the Baptist come to the right answer?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But look at the dialogue he went through. So here comes Jesus. He sees something different. Matthew, who gives us the details, says, "Well, why should I baptize you? I'm the unworthy one." So why did Jesus get baptized? What did he need to be cleansed from?
Aha! That magic word, cleansed. That's what we think of when we talk about baptism today.
He took on our sins.
Now, the theology according to Gillen is that Jesus was baptized for the very same reason that each one of us are supposed to be baptized.
And what is that?
He made a commitment to his Father. Okay. And he had a job to do. He committed himself to that job, come life or death. And when we are baptized, we're supposed to be making a commitment, but it doesn't seem to take too well.
Okay. And what would you say that commitment that we're making is?
Us, the same one that Jesus made to do the job that he set out for us to do. To present the character of the Father to the world. And then he could come and take his children. But until we present the character of the Father to this world and understand him, there's no reason for him to come see us.
Okay.
But I think water means cleansing. And as God symbolically took that, because he took our sins and he was symbolically cleansed, so are we when we become baptized.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question, which I think is a fair question. Had he took our sins, if one ascribes to that, did he take our sins? Had he already taken them at that time?
I wonder if John...
If
John thought that was the act of the dismissal and the atonement of sins when Christ was baptized.
I don't think John had one clue about that.
Well, the Spirit came on him after he came up out of the water, not that the Spirit wasn't there anyway.
Hey, we'll come to that in a minute. Why did Jesus get baptized? Set an example. Example for who?
Me.
Okay.
St. Paul uses that same response setting. He says, "Emulate me," at one point. "Do as I do."
Okay. So, the people that wear a band around their wrist that says, "What would Jesus do?" They're absolutely 100% correct then.
That's good theology.
See? These are nice words, but what do they mean? I would think wearing a band, what would Jesus do, is certainly a nice starting point for some people, but I would hate to think that I would have to wear it and just say, "Now let's see, what?" I mean, I had to fire some people today at work. Halfway messed up my day. So, do you think I looked at my band and said, "Now what would Jesus do?" Just a thought. Do you really think that?
I don't know. I don't know the circumstance.
Believe me, he wouldn't have. See? Why baptism as an example? I don't have any problems with that, but I don't. I would like to think maybe there's something a little bit deeper than that.
Isn't it wonderful to think that we could be, the promise that we could be washed clean through Jesus Christ?
Well, I think it's absolutely.
Of sin.
Well, I thought, but I can't give much reason. I always thought that baptism was a symbol of entrance into the new covenant, as circumcision was a symbol for entrance into the old covenant.
Okay, so the creator of the covenant had to be baptized as a symbol of the own covenant that he created. Because he was the creator of the covenant.
Yes.
So, what do you get out of it? Let's go at a different angle. What do you get out of his baptism? Pardon?
He was baptized so that they would believe in the one who sent him.
Okay.
Well, and that he who was perfect was baptized. And it seems like so much more important that we are who we're not.
Okay.
He gave another example in foot washing.
And what was that example? By the way, it's the same one in baptism. What was that example for? Jesus, pardon?
Go ahead. I'm just going to say to humble yourself and to, the scripture says something about he who is a servant is greater than he who thinks he's great.
Absolutely. Okay, that's fine. Why was he born in a manger and not a palace? Why was he taught at home and not in the school of the prophets? Why was he a lowly carpenter instead of a rich businessman? Why did he have no home instead of a mansion to live in?
Just about the life of every person back there.
This is the creator of the universe. Why did he choose to go that path?
If he had privileges,
because he was to be a servant.
If he had come to earth and had privileges, Satan and his angels could always make an argument that he did not have the same, that we don't have the same advantage, or that he had an advantage over us.
Absolutely. Can you get much lower than being born in a manger? No one around? Can you get more lower than being homeless? See. He became one of us.
Also illegitimate.
Certainly the way a lot of people looked at. That's what a lot of people would have said. He became one of us. He became just like us. And if he's just like us, the natural consequences of being like us is he would be baptized. He did not say, look at me, this is what I want you to do. Just like us, he went in for baptism because he wanted people to know that he had that relationship with his Heavenly Father. And that's the reason that we should be baptized. It is a commitment. It is a symbol of I want to get rid of my old life. I found Jesus Christ, and through Him I can begin my new life. I remember the old days where we used to read a bunch of things. Do you accept this? Do you accept that? Do you accept this? Do you accept that? Thank goodness those days are gone. There's only one thing to accept. And that's Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord, as your Savior. And then once you have that relationship, other things will come into place and be very beautiful. Jesus was baptized because He is just like us. When He gets out of the water, He begins to pray. And what happens?
Heaven opened up.
Heaven's opened up.
Gospel.
Light comes down. Form of a dove. What was the symbolism of the dove?
Peace.
Peace. Gentleness. Do you think the people thought of the Messiah as a gentle person?
No, he was supposed to be a warrior.
Also Thomas, maybe.
Even today, I don't think a lot of people think of him as a loving God.
Well, I agree with that. That's why what did this gentleman's picture of God before you came into his life this week?
Right.
She introduced him to God. It's the only thing we can do. Now, dove, form of gentle, kindness, certainly a one of peace, very symbolic throughout the Old Testament. Then we hear a voice from heaven. One says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Why that voice?
It's for John.
Okay. Partly.
It's for Christ.
For Christ?
Yes.
Why would it be for him?
He needed encouragement too. God, he needed to know that his heavenly Father was pleased with him.
Come think of it. If John was there when this heaven opened up and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," why then did John later on while in prison ask Jesus who he was?
It's a good question. Somebody want to answer that?
He got a little discouraged.
It's a good question, James. There are no pat answers in our lives. It's easy to say to someone that's discouraged, "Don't you think God loves you? What are you worried about?" That's the human nature.
But there are some people there that thought that was thunder. They didn't understand the words. Is that right?
Could be. Why did this voice come out and say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased"?
I'm going to go back to my original statement.
Okay.
Jesus made a commitment with the Father that he had a good relationship with. He told him what he said, I will do as you say. And the Father answered his commitment. He said, "This is my Son."
Okay. Somebody look up Psalms 1:7. Somebody look up Isaiah 42:1. Psalms 1:7. Whoever gets there first. Read away. Isaiah 42, 1.
Which one do you want first?
1:7. Psalms 1:7. Psalms 1:7. There's no verse 7. There's no 7?
No 7.
Well, try 6. What the heck?
The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the wicked he will perish.
Keep going.
That's the end of it.
Try 2:7.
Okay, 7.
Yeah, 2:7. You are my son. 2:7. All right, 42:1, Isaiah. Please be the right text.
Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights.
Okay. Now do you see where this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased? These were texts from Psalms 2:7, which is a carryover from Psalms 1:7, and Isaiah 42, verse 1. Yes, ma'am.
There's a second part to the 42, verse 1.
Okay.
It says, I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nation.
Absolutely. Okay.
So, if that was in prophecy, then it was also a symbol to everybody there, if they saw that spirit, that dove.
Okay. So, was this confirmation for John? Was this confirmation for the crowd? Or, when Jesus came up out of that water and began to pray, what do you think went through his mind?
Well, he was going to have an awful thing happen to him when he left that baptism, and he certainly needed reinsurance to give him courage.
He had no idea of what lay before him.
No, he had no idea, but he needed that courage.
Okay, yes, you are correct, but what else did he need? Do you think that he was 100% absolutely positive of what his role was?
He knew what it was, though, because he knew when he was 12 years old what it was.
Okay. But does that mean that carried with him? What did he say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Let me out of this. He was human. He's just like us. He relied upon his Father. He relied upon that strength. But he certainly had questions. And he come out there, here he's supposed to start his ministry, and God gives him the greatest thing he can give him. Confirmation. John heard it. This is good, he says. People in the crowd could have heard it. But when your heart's not in the right place, you'll be surprised how the blessings of God just pass you right on by because you're not in tune. But Jesus had confirmation of who he was. And as a parent, as a grandparent, in my case, a great-grandparent, what better words can you say to your child than, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I'm so very, very proud of you. I remember at times that my dad said that about me. And it's on cloud 10. See? And this is our Heavenly Father with His own Son who was about to go through 3.5 years of being rejected, misunderstood, reviled, wanting to be killed, people looking and not listening, his own disciples arguing. And he comes up out of the water and he begins to pray. My favorite Bible commentator says there were tears running down his eyes as he looked to his Father. And like all, wondering what was ahead of him. And the Father opened up heaven, a light came down, a form of a dove, and he said beyond a shadow of a doubt, "You are my Son, and I am very pleased with you." God will do that in our life if we ask. Might not be a voice from heaven, might be and not be a dove, but He will give us assurance that you are my Son, you are my daughter, and I love you, I care for you, and I am proud of you. Why? That's who He is. Father in heaven, must have been with joy as your Son realized through the study of the Old Testament, through His relationship with you, the hearing of John the Baptist preaching, that it was now time to fulfill Isaiah, Jeremiah, and become the suffering servant. And as He went into that water, came out of that water, He looked to you and said, "Father, Father," and as always you answered, "Father, thank you for who you are." And as we look to you on a day-by-day basis, give us that assurance over and over that you love and care. And the words when we come to heaven, it will be, "We've been a good and faithful son and daughter. Enter into eternity with me." Father, this is our prayer this evening. In the lovely name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Next week, temptations.
No. Oh, I thought you was going to be gone next week.
No.
Very good. Very good. Just a good test. Peggy, did I do good on the test? 2 weeks from tonight, the temptation. Why did He go to the desert? Why did the Spirit lead Him? Why did He sit there for 40 days? Why? And please don't say it's an example.